Christ came, the same countries persecuted the church, the Christians. And Great Britain, even though they came out from underneath Rome, and yet the Anglican church persecuted all non-Anglicans, not just Catholics, but the Baptists and others. And whenever the pilgrims came over here, it was to get away from the Anglicans. So we're just as fortified.
They were.
Calneh in Persia, Hamath in Syria, Gath and Philistia were just as fortified, but fell to Assyria. God's asking them to look around. The Lord now lists the activities of the godless elites that are about to fall. They're in verses 3 through 6. Ye that put far away the evil day. In other words, it ain't going to happen to us. It'll never happen to us. That's exactly the mindset of America. And that includes, it includes the Laodicean Christians.
Yeah.
The people, when you try to talk about current events, they don't want to hear it.
True.
You try to talk about Bible prophecy, they just think you're a nut.
That's a thousand years off.
And cause the seed of violence to come near. And that's, it may not look at it at first glance, but that's the counter side, the flip side to Ronald Reagan's doctrine of peace through strength. When you display weakness and you become so prosperous that you become weak and your men become women, when your men become women, and as I said Sunday, if you look it up, this last trip they made over there to NATO and Israel, and they had two men dressed like Colonel Klinger, or whatever his name was, Corporal Klinger, on MASH. Supposed to take our country seriously when you got these two cross-dressing transvestites representing your country. And that Richard Levine, who calls himself Rachel, was in a military uniform when he spake.
Wow.
Navy. Verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. This describes a lot of people on welfare in this country.
Yeah.
It's not just the really rich people living like that. The people on welfare, and I don't mean to disparage anybody, but if you're on welfare and you shouldn't be on it, then I don't care what you think. If you're on welfare and you should be on it, then fine. But most people on welfare in this country shouldn't be on it. And they're also cheating the system and selling pot or doing other things that they shouldn't be doing to make money under the table illegally. And so that's why you see them driving nicer cars than you own.
Yep.
Living in nicer houses than you might live in. Dressed to the T. You know? They all got their iPhones and their iPads or whatever, you know, people are using these days. They don't go without anything. Stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock. Bunch of obese, lazy people sitting around watching TV.
Oh, yeah.
And the calves out of the midst of the stall. Verse 5, that chant to the sound of the viol. That's funny they say that chant instead of sing. Because about most of the music that's popular today, it's just a bunch of chanting and talking and so-called hip-hop garbage. I can't understand a word they're saying.
Better than what I hear at once.
Sound like
Porky
Pig?
Walk
to war after church.
Just think about it, what that music sounds like. It doesn't sound like it's not. It's chanting and it's talking and everything. It's not even music. And the calves out of the midst of the stall that chant to the sound of the violin and invent to themselves instruments of music. Like David, that drink wine in bowls. That means they're drinking it heavily.
A lot of
drinking heavy. And anoint themselves with the chief ointments. You come into some of the poorest areas of this town, and I can't hardly breathe from all the stench of all the ointments. Perfumes, hair products, you name it. They don't have enough money to pay their bills, so the government has to pay their bills, but then they got money for all that. Most of them have money for cigarettes and things, too. That's what this is. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So to this point, they had kept themselves insulated from the losses of the non-elites who lived around them. See, they're all living high. And I was just pointing out, in America, we don't even have that disparity between the elite and the poor. The elite, really, they just have maybe bigger houses, maybe a little nicer cars. They may have stocks and bonds and savings accounts and things, real estate holdings, that kind of thing. But as far as practical daily living, there's not a lot of difference. But they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph, meaning they're totally just putting it out of sight of mind, because it's all about thinking. It's all about how you think. If you just be positive. Just be positive. And if anybody starts to point out that America is going to hell and about to fall in the judgment of God, get away from those people. They're toxic. That's just toxic. They're negative. Don't surround yourself with negative people like that. That's what they're saying. They are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They look around, and instead of seeing the reality, they surround themselves with a bunch of people that only say what they need to or want to hear. And most churches preach in that. That's what you're going to hear most of the churches you attend in this country, even as America goes to hell.
Yep.
In verse 7, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. So when Israel falls, these elites that are choosing to live in a dream world, not face reality and talk about reality, and the most important thing is they're not willing to face that reality and repent. Then God says what Brother John was just explaining, when the communists take over. These elites are the first to be executed or taken into captivity. And that's what happened. When Assyria came through, later when Babylon comes through and takes the south, they took the elites and marched them off to execution. They took the children that were, we say, young adults. They were in their early 20s and below. They took them to Babylon and turned them into Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah. And that's exactly... Daniel wasn't guilty, or they, the three Hebrews, as we call them, they ended up surviving the furnace of fire. They weren't bad children. They just happened to be born into families that were apostates in an apostate nation. And so, you know, remember when Hezekiah was told, it won't happen in your lifetime, but after you're dead and gone, your children and your grandchildren are going to be taken off as captives. That's Daniel and the three Hebrews, that's who that prophecy is about.
Yep.
These people don't care. Scripture is scripture. We refer you to this often regarding the coming judgment of the untouchable elites. We've read this. James 5, I think, Charlie, you're there. James 5, 1 through 3. And think of James, the Jew, writing this letter to the 12 tribes scattered. And he's really talking about the end time fulfillment of the exact same thing we're reading about here in Amos 6. Go ahead.
Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days.
Does that make you want to be Bill Gates?
Nope.
George Soros? Warren Buffett? Ted Turner? Fill in the blank. And then we read verses 4 through 6. Olivia, go ahead and read that.
Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you.
We don't have time to go into that. We went through James. Meditate on that sometime compared to those headlines we read tonight. Their day is coming. R.G. Lee would say, there's a payday someday. And then verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So it's just a reminder not to take matters into your own hands. But there is coming a payday. And in verse 8, back in Amos 6, the Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And God is not impressed by the amazing architecture, the amazing buildings, the amazing bridges and dams. Although the infrastructure in a lot of places is crumbling, there's still a lot of amazing things accomplished in the United States of America. Hoover Dam, you know, those kind of things. God's not impressed. And he's not impressed as he looks at Israel. He hates pride. And prosperity that leads to arrogance results in destruction. And I'll come back to you in a minute. That's where we are in America today. There's so much pride that even conservatives are a bunch of blowhards. Talking about how proud they are of America. Wait a minute. First of all, the Bible just never tells us to be proud.
Amen.
So what are you proud of? I'm not proud of America right now. I fear for America.
Amen.
I pray for America. God bless America. I pray, bless God, America.
Amen.
But humility, trust in God, and obedience are the keys to peace and prosperity. Now, which of those is America really thriving in right now? Humility, trust in God, obedience. Who's got Proverbs 16 to 19? Brian, go ahead and read that.
How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
Amen. But that's why a lot of people are selling their souls so that they can get along with the world. Selling their souls. This is what American pride looks like today. Here's an example. This is what a quarter looked like up until this year. Now, just a subtle change. But beginning this year, George Washington turned his back on In God We Trust.
Oh.
Now, do you think that was on accident? Let me tell you, these people, when they do these things to our money, these go through all kinds of committees, they're studied, etc.
Wow.
And it's not smiling anymore,
either. Yeah, it's another thing. You look at the difference. I mean, he didn't have a big smile on the other one, but look at it. It's almost a turn down, and he just looks a lot different.
Yeah.
And his back is to In God We Trust. And previously, in 2007, Obama signed a law to relegate God to tiny little print on the edges of your quarters. But the practice was reversed after protests. But you can find some coins that were printed in that time where In God We Trust is so small that I can't read it.
Yeah.
And it's on the edge of the coin. You'd never know it's there unless someone told you it's there. So back to our text. And it shall come to pass, verse 9, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die, and a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. In other words, they're going to talk, and then before anybody can even mention the name of the Lord, they're going to cut him off. Why? Because there's been like a 90% casualty rate, and they know it's God. And they don't even want to mention his name for fear that it will invoke or provoke more judgment. Survivors will fear even mentioning God. and attracting his attention to the fact that they are still alive. That's, see, today, I think it'll be, I'm a couple of weeks ahead on our daily devotional, but on one of the devotionals a couple of weeks from now, the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. But the world says, that's terrible that you fear the Lord. And if you think it through, you understand that the world doesn't fear the Lord and they're destroyed as a result. We don't fear him like destroying us and casting us into hell. We're saved. We know we're saved and eternally secure. But we fear the loving chastisement of a father. Amen. And so we don't want to provoke him to have to chastise us. And because of that, we have a living relationship and a confidence of our relationship with him. And so we can face life with confidence. We know we belong to him. But the world just doesn't get that. And many Christians today don't get that. A 90% casualty rate. And then 11:12, for behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches and the little house with clefts. You just think about, we talked about the earthquakes that are happening and everything. Shall horses run upon the rock? In other words, the ground is so broken up that you can't even ride a horse on it. Will one plow there with oxen? It'd be like today trying to plow with a big John Deere tractor whenever the earth is so broken up that you can't even drive on it. And it says, for ye have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. So homes or houses are condemned. They can't even live in their homes. You can't ride horses or plow with oxen over rock. If you ever tried that, you probably have stories to tell. It says, therefore, ye have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. In other words, the courts and religion have become poison. There's no justice. There's no true faith. There's no true prophecy anymore. And then we close there in verses 13 and 14. Oh, we're not closing. There's a couple more verses there. Yeah, that's the last two. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? See, they think it's all human. I had a little chit-chat with a guy today, and he's all about human potential, humanism. And how sad it is that you people fear this invisible God in the sky, and that you find your worth in his opinion of you, whenever humanism says all that matters is your opinion of you. And I said, well, humanism says that when you die, you become nothing but worm food. God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have an eternal future to look forward to. You have nothing to look forward to except for being eaten and pooped by a worm. That's your future as a humanist. Think of it. Absolutely true. Self-esteem and pride results in total ruin. That's what's killed America today. Everybody is so full of themselves and so full of pride, including their own sin. God gives peace and victory to those with humility toward him. And that's what we're going to read. Who's got 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7? Johnny, go ahead and read that.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
See, the world says, no, you don't humble yourself. You lift yourself up. You have pride and confidence and say, I will, which is what Satan did in Isaiah 14. Say, I can. I believe in myself. And the Bible says, no, you believe in God and you humble yourself and he will strengthen you and he will, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not me doing it. It's my strength that I receive from him. It's the wisdom I get from him. It's the guidance I get from him. And the world has that completely backwards. By the way, Christians do not trust in military might or personal power, but in Christ. Now, because I do believe this, that a nation that is truly God-fearing will use wisdom and follow God's word, which means you will have a strong military. But your trust isn't in the military. See? So the liberals, they destroy the military and have no trust in God. Yeah, Luke 22:36. So let's get our final readings here. Ephesians 3:14-16. Jessica? Listen close to what she reads here.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
And then who's got 17 through 21? 19. Kim?
I already read 17. Oh. 18. Sorry.
It's all right. Read 17 through 21 again, just so we have the whole...
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ with patches knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. So it's not about you. It's about you submitting yourself to him. Amen. It's not about human spirit and human potential. It's about the Spirit of God in you. It's not about your brain and your intellect, but whatever brain and intellect you have, you submit it to God, and then following his mind and his wisdom, then you demonstrate wisdom and are able to use that intellect to his glory. Amen. And that, and then it goes to any skill you develop or any God-given, as we call it, talent that you have. And when you use that for his purpose and for his glory, then that's when you're going to find that you are a success. And then when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be rewarded for that. If you're just using whatever talents and abilities you have for your own glory, you get nothing. You end up with nothing but a bonfire. Godless arrogance is insanely foolish. And folks, we're surrounded by it. And we have to be very careful not to get caught up in it.
Yeah.
That includes a lot of stuff going on among Christians. Don't get caught up in it.
Amen.
Even when we said this about the blind man, or was it last week in Zacchaeus? I said this. I have to check my notes, but one of the last two Sundays I pointed out, you have to ignore every single Christian that goes against the Bible.
Amen.
And the world, when they go against the Bible, is without, shouldn't have to be said. But a lot of people need to understand, just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean they're giving you good advice. Go by the book, amen?
I sit and stare into the bright blue sky, praying for the shout of the archangel's cry, longing for a trumpet blast to rock this place, longing to fly past the moon and see your face. Oh, even so, come quickly. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired all day. Most may know the truth, but reject the way. Apocalypse of Jesus Christ will fix this mess. Meantime, I'm stuck on this earth under duress. Oh, even so, come quickly. Truth doesn't sell in